Third John, verse 9. Third John, verse 9. If you're unfamiliar with Third John, you might say, well, preacher, it's verse 9, but what chapter? There is no division for chapters in Third John because it's only 14 verses long. There's only one chapter, so I'm just saying verse 9. John has been writing to a character named Gaius. We don't know that much about him, other than what we see here. We find him to be a man who is filled with the truth. We find that he has been walking in the truth. We find that his testimony has been such that people, as they pass through the area where Gaius lives and where he ministers to folks, we find them talking about him. He's made an impression on them. And you find that he is a charitable man. That is, he has been gracious in helping people along the way as they have, well, in verse 7, because for his name's sake, that is, for the Lord's name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. There were folks who were carrying the gospel, not because it was a paying proposition, but because it was something they felt they needed to do. There are folks, you know, if you stop and think about it, there still are folks who have never heard the gospel. Now, I'm not talking necessarily about having to carry the gospel to some third world country. Does the guy across the street from you know the gospel? Do your neighbors know what it means to be born again? You see, here were people that John is referring to, who got burdened about the lost condition of folks, and so they were willing to leave home. They were willing to go into places, like pioneers, as it were, to go into places where the people had not heard about Jesus Christ, to invest their time and their lives and sometimes their blood in the proclamation of the gospel. Now, as we have proceeded down through the first 8 verses, we come to verse 9, and John says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Okay, now we're coming to the major problem. It's amazing to me how so many times people sit down with the Bible and they read because they have a reading schedule, or, well, you know, I read a chapter every day, and they go through it almost mechanically without really understanding why it was written. What's the purpose of it? You'll find some books are much more easy to figure out. You take, for instance, 1 Corinthians, as Paul writes to the church at Corinth. He's writing to a church with a lot of problems. There's a lot of problems with division. There's problems with immorality within the congregation. They're fighting over things offered to idols. There's confusion over the position, the importance of communion or the Lord's Supper. There was misunderstanding. There was a lot of worry about the resurrection from the dead. And so as a result, you find that as Paul writes to them in 1 Corinthians, he spends time talking, say, chapters 1 through 4, about divisions. Chapters 5, 6, and 7, he spends dealing with immorality in the church, and so it goes. Now, when we come to John's writing, sometimes he, well, for instance, in the Gospel according to John, he presents Christ to the whole world as the only begotten Son of God. We find in 1 John, the 5-chapter epistle that we were in a few weeks ago, we find there that his concern is the people, the Christians, need to be working on their walk with God, having fellowship with God. When you came to 2 John, there's a problem that needs to be dealt with, and that is this business of people, religious hucksters, heretics, cultists? You can use a lot of unflattering names, but the fact is there were people who were spreading false doctrine. And so John deals with this problem in verse 10 in 2 John. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Now, these problems need to be dealt with. Now, in 3 John, we come to a problem here in this church. And John says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence. It's a sad thing, but so many congregations have a Diotrephes lurking there somewhere. Sometimes they're on the deacon board. Sometimes it may be the pastor, but normally this is some old boy who figures he's the bull of the woods. He's the one that tells everybody how things ought to be done. I remember years ago a man called me and said, we want you to come and preach in our church. And I said, no, you don't. He said, yes, we do. And I said, no, you don't. And, the reason was that church had a doctrinal position that I did not believe was biblical. They had a position on baptismal regeneration. That is, you've got to be baptized in order to be saved. I had some other problems there that I really didn't think that they would be comfortable with me. And they said, no, we want you to come. And I tried to explain why, and he said, no, we believe just like you do. And he said, well, you meet with the pulpit committee. And I said, well, okay. And so I met with him, and I said, okay, what do you want? And he said, well, we want you to come preach for us. And apparently the idea was that they were looking for a pastor, and they had figured I ought to be it. And so I said, okay, let's talk about some things. And I said, okay, now this is what your church believes. This is your doctrinal position. And I went down the list, and I said, this and this and this and this. And they said, yeah, that's right. And I said, yes, but I believe the Bible teaches this. And I went down the list, boom, 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 boom. And they said, yeah, that's right. And I said, well, wait a minute, wait. I said, historically, you believe this. And the Bible says this, and they said, yeah, you're right. And I said, but don't you see there's a disagreement there? And they said, no, we believe just like you did. And so we left it. So I said, look, I'll preach for you one Sunday. That's all. I'll just preach for you Sunday morning, Sunday night. I said, fine, you'll see. And so they all left. And as I was leaving, the man who had called me in the first place took me aside, and he said, now, look, you're young. And I don't know why it is, but at that point in my life, I had had enough of people talking down to me, because at that point, I think I was probably, maybe about 26, 27 years old. And this man said, now look, you're young. And I'd have this little chat with every young man that comes through here. He said, now I'm going to tell you the way it's going to be. He said, you're not going to preach on smoking, you will not preach on drinking, and you will not preach on cussing. He said, I do all three, and I don't see anything wrong with it, and I'm not going to have you or anyone else coming in here and messing up my church. Now, he didn't know me very well, or he'd have known that was a dumb thing to do. He was Diotrephes. He put himself in a position where he was talking down to anybody who was going to preach there. I said, now look, and I called him by name, and I said, look, I don't really intend to come in here and pick a fight, but I said, you need to understand something. No man tells me what to preach. I'm God's man. I'm going to preach what God gives me to preach. If that's on smoking, drinking, or cussing, you get ready, because it's coming. I said, now I'll tell you right straight up front. I wasn't planning on preaching on either, any of those three things. But I said, I'm here to tell you the truth. If God tells me to do it, you best hunker down and duck and lay low, because it's going to hit the fan. Now, when somebody loves to have the preeminence. That means they want to be number one. They want to be known as they're the man. They're the mover. They're the shaker. They're the kingmaker. They don't necessarily want to sit on the throne. They want to be the power behind the throne. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. He decides who speaks and who doesn't. He decides who is going to have anything to do with that congregation or not. He's a dictator, Diotrephes. Wherefore, if I come... Now, this apparently is going on in the area, if not the... Well, I assume it is in the church that Diotrephes is a part of, or at least it is in the church in the area where Gaius is. I may have slipped a word there, a name there, but this church apparently is in the same location where Gaius is. Now, whether or not it's his home congregation or not, I assume, from the way it's worded, that this is where he goes to church. John says, I wrote to the church. And Diotrephes, he doesn't want anything to do with me. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. Prating. He's bad-mouthing. You notice, prating against us with malicious words. You can say it in a number of ways. He's talking trash. He's running him down. He's slandering John. You can say it in a number of ways, but the fact is, because Diotrephes loves to have the preeminence, he doesn't want anybody coming in who's more important. He doesn't want to be seen for what he really is. It's amazing to me how many people set themselves up as being experts, as being, father, wisdom in a congregation, and yet when somebody has a real question, they shrug it off. They hem and haw around and bluff instead of going to the Bible to see what the Bible says. And as a result, they do more damage than they could possibly ever do any good. He says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. Now somebody say, well, John just got his feelings hurt. He shouldn't be so thin-skinned. No. Here was a man who does not have the spiritual stature of Gaius. Here is a man who is, who has made himself a pompous little dictator. He has no business holding this position. It's not an elected position. It is not an ordained position. He has assumed the leadership. He has presumed the leadership of this congregation. Now, he says, I'll remember his deeds. Why? Is it just a personality conflict here? No. This man is strangling the church and those who could minister to it. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Wow. This guy is trouble. This is not the kind of guy that you want in your congregation. This is a guy that's got to be put in his place, and John is just the guy to do it. Now, my time is gone. We'll have to come back to this on the next broadcast. I hope you'll join me as we continue our study in 3 John. See you then.